$5 or $10 million a year. To me, that's a lot of money. To the university, and it's a large endowment, I don't think it's that significant. This is like when they have discussions to lease out oil drilling in the Asabo River, a quarter mile from the river or something. This is something that belongs to everybody, and to give it to AT&T or Verizon or something for $5 million a year, whatever it comes out to be, I think is a big violation of the public trust. And like other people have said, once it's gone, it's gone. You're not going to get it back. These 200,000 people a week that use it, it's like when the DNR looks at their forests, and we're going to sell off this 160 acres. Oh, there's going to be a Myers put in there now. You don't get it back. So I would support the people that view this as a public asset of a public university, of a land grant institution that has an obligation to serve everybody, and that everybody includes people that aren't all urban people that have Wi-Fi and 50 megabyte internet access everywhere. So it's, I had 25 years, I made a little speech to the director where we got our awards in that. And I said, you know, a lot of people, you get beat up by the public, you're an administrator at the university, you get beat up by the public in the legislature. But our job was really to leave something behind for the people that come after us. And if this goes, the kids, the grandkids, the population, there's no KER, there's no public access, there's no quality programming. You know, personally, I don't watch Housewives of LA or whatever that kind of stuff is. I prefer what WKAR offers on this public asset, and I would strongly recommend that it be kept as a public asset. Thank you.
My name is Jim Cunningham, and I have two quick cautions and a suggestion. The first caution is that it seems to me that the vast majority of the quality television that my family watches in East Lansing comes from WKAR. As the result of that opinion, I give a monthly contribution to WKAR. If WKAR and the two other stations disappear from my television set, my monthly donation will also disappear, and I suspect a lot of others will disappear. So you may gain quantity of money by selling your station, but WKAR is going to lose a fair amount of revenue, first. Secondly, I personally view this much like the threat of the city of Detroit to sell the art from the Detroit Institute of Arts. So you're threatening us to sell a community treasure for some quantity of money. That shouldn't be what a public institution is about. The final suggestion is that if you're foolish enough to do this, the Board of Trustees and the President promise to use the quantity of money accrued as an endowment, and every last penny of the revenue from that endowment each year goes to WKAR and the college for the students and for alternate transmissions by way of the internet for the few of us that have that access. It's going to need more new equipment. It's going to need more programming. That endowment ought to all come back to the radio station.
Thank you.
Before we go to the next question, there are a couple of very young gentlemen back there, too. So let's not miss out on those two.
Say something. You go first.
So you.
Say your name. My name is Reese Sarzinski, and we love WKAR.
What do you start your day with every day?
Wildcrats.
We are also one of the over-the-air households, and have been, will continue to be. They don't start their day unless they watch their Wildcrats and then usually one program at night. My wife and I are curious to know how many positions would be directly affected if it's eliminated, and also what the university is willing to accept as their minimum bid, assuming the 206 is the ceiling.
Hey,
We haven't concluded what a minimum bid would be, and if we decided to sell it, it probably wouldn't be prudent to publicly say that anyway, as it'd weaken our position. So I'm not sure you'd want us to. In terms of positions, as Dean David and Provost Hewitt said, I don't think we have a specific number. I guess I would say a couple things. One is that the vast majority of programming would continue. So those components, other than the technical on-air engineering component, would presumably continue. So there would be very few positions, I would think, that would be at risk at the end of the day. And in other contexts, the university has worked extraordinarily hard to not lay off people. And when we had our 15% budget cut from the state the other year, the number of people that actually left the university other than through retirements or natural attrition of their own free will was extraordinarily small. So I can't give you a specific number other than to sort of give you that general perspective.
So there is various scenarios there. One
particular.
Sorry. Okay. So how does the station continue if there is no programming? So here is one option.
How does local programming continue if there's no station?
If there is no station. How does local programming continue if there is no station? So here is a possibility. We have talked with consultants and so on. Again, there is no clear answer to this. If a number of public television stations opt to sell spectrum, then PBS would not have enough stations to carry their programming. It is possible, there is no guarantee, of course, all of this is speculative. It is possible that PBS may say, well, you can send the signal via cable, although you don't have over-the-air broadcasting, you could continue to operate the cable, in which case we could potentially incorporate local programming. Again, this is purely speculative, and you know, it depends on how all of this unfolds.
You become nothing other than Bravo.
Say what?
You become nothing other than Bravo or A&E or another cable network.
No, they give us the PBS national programming. We get... No. There are two things. One is another station comes in, so maybe Detroit or Flint or Grand Rapids. You get their signal here. The alternative is we continue to do what we do right now, except it doesn't go on the air. Everything else is intact, the cable delivery and other ways of getting the programming you can get. But we just lose over-the-air capability. No. Right.
The University of Michigan used to do that. They had a TV production area. They had a transmitter in Flint, which they sold to Central Michigan. Who knew what to do with it, as I explained before? No transmitter, no program. They figured it out.
Right. That is a very real risk.
Hi, my name is Laura Ashley, and I appreciate having the opportunity to come and give our point of view. Someone mentioned earlier about the members, and I have been contributing to WKAR radio and television since I was in my 20s, and that was a long time ago. And I do feel like if the university does this, you're breaking a contract with all the people that you've been going to year after year, you know, pledge drive after pledge drive, asking for support. You always say, we're on the air with support of viewers like you. That's like us. And I just really feel like you are breaking your promise WKAR is breaking its promise through no fault of its own if you do this. My second comment is I cannot believe that Congress has said that the FCC is going to pay for the repacking instead of the cellular companies that want the spectrum to begin with. And I would encourage everyone to write their member of Congress and tell them that.
Hi, I'm Richard Best. I'm a retired staffer from WKAR, so you may consider my opinions biased. But they do have a historical perspective. 62 years ago on January 15th, 1954, at the dedication ceremonies for WKAR-TV, Dr. John A. Hanna, then the president of Michigan State College, said, "The purpose of Michigan State College when it was established 100 years ago was to help the people of Michigan learn to live more effectively and to learn to live more enjoyable lives. Television is the greatest tool ever developed to carry out the program of education for all the people." Now you may be thinking, oh well, we'll get it on cable or we'll get it on satellite or over the internet, but there's a couple little snags, as I understand it, the way the rules are set up now. First of all, you cannot be a PBS station if you're not a broadcast station. That's a PBS rule. And then the must-carry rule that the cable and satellite providers abide by applies only to broadcast stations. So if you do what you're thinking about doing, I think it would be the effective end of local content, public television for this area. And think about what that means. What programs would we be missing? We have Off the Record, the longest running political talk program of any station or any network anywhere. That's an amazing accomplishment. And lately you have Curious Crew, the new nationally award-winning program that's right in line with STEM and STEAM education. That's another important thing. Quizbusters, another outreach to the community that's very popular. And NKAR does a lot of cooperative programming with the College of Music, which has become one of the most respected music colleges in the nation. KAR is a valuable asset. I can't believe that you're thinking about selling it. There are people still who would kill to have a broadcast license. It's a university. It's education. Education for all is the land-grant mission. Outreach is a significant part of that mission, and television is a significant part of that. Is money more important? Does the dollar have to dictate everything? And where do these valuation numbers come from? I've heard 260 million. I've heard 45 million. Which is it? And where will we buy in or buy out? So the end of PBS in Bend, Michigan, and the loss of a valuable teaching platform for the College of Communication Arts and Sciences, I think, is a huge loss. And since we were starting out as an agricultural college, a farmer might say, it's being very short-sighted and you're eating your seed corn.
My name is John Schutt and I was an employee here at MSU, at WKAR as well. And I'd just like to ask why, since Wood TV Channel 8 in Grand Rapids broadcasts on VHF Channel 7, and WILX TV Channel 10 here in Lansing broadcasts on VHF 10, why is moving to a VHF channel not an option?
Two reasons, John. First off, the payment that would come from the FCC instead of being 206 would only be one-third of that at the very highest to move to a V. And secondly, and I think this is frankly far more important, is the new standard that you probably no doubt know about, which is the ATSC 3 I talked about earlier, is a complete new digital approach. This is, again, a year to 2 years away. But in effect, what it will do is make that 1,000-foot tower on Dobie Road in Okemos effectively a huge wireless router. So will we be able to see TV? Absolutely. Will we be able to do new services that many of us haven't even thought of yet in the digital domain? Absolutely. That's not possible on the VHF band.
Hi, my name is Scott Jacob. I'm a resident of Lansing. I graduated in 2000. I was born in 1975, so carrying the tradition of distance of age. I'm representing three people today, myself, my wife, and my son. First, I want to thank everybody who's up there because it takes a lot of guts to take the beating. Second, the people that should be up there are not there today, and I want to reiterate that. That's a problem, and it needs to be fixed for the next meeting. I'm hoping as many people show up for that one. Secondly, WKR is great. I love it. It's better than cable. I go back to my parents and I watch the cable and I realize why I don't have it. And then when I look at their public stations and I look at WKR, I think they do a really good job here. They really do. So thank you for the folks that do all that work. The reason my wife's not here today is because she already figures the decision's made. And not seeing a leadership here sort of reinforces that. And that's a sad truth right now. As an educator, though, I can tell you that talking to all the other educators, we bring up PBS all the time. We bring up WKR all the time. And we share what we learn with the students who don't get it or don't pay attention because they're looking at shiny objects like their phones. But we're bringing them into that fold. We're planting the seeds. We're getting them moving in the right direction to start to see the world in a bigger view, which WKR does, and nothing else that is broadcast on our antenna does anything like that. Nothing would replace it. I told my son why I was coming, and he looked at me like, why are they doing that? What are you talking about? Are they gonna get rid of Wildcrats? That was his first comment. He is very unhappy with you guys if you move forward with that, and he's the future, not me. So as we look at this, and I look at this as an educator, it's really about a cost-benefit ratio here. And is my son's education worth that $200 million? Is the education of all the kids that we have? That's the real question. Is it worth it to give up this opportunity that will go away forever? And I think everybody agrees with that. And from what I'm hearing, there's no alternate coming from you guys. If we give that up, is it worth the $200 million? That's the question. And the answer should be a resounding no. It's not even close to enough. We can't replace what we have with $200 million. You cannot replace it. So as we move forward, just bottom line, great asset. The money's not worth it. And I do acknowledge that the university is under a lot of pressure because they're not funded properly because the state just keeps undercutting and undercutting. But they got to find a different way or whatever they've got to do. But this asset is too big. I've never come to something like this. Probably won't do it again. But this was too important for my son, for my family, for my community. Thank you very much.
Hi. Actually, what I want to ask about ties in very closely to what he was talking about related to the money. Some one of you mentioned something about $3 million a year from PBS. Is that correct, that WKER receives that? So if WKER no longer exists, that $3 million would go away? Sure. Okay, so what I'm getting at here is $10 million a year at the most, if there's an endowment, possibly less, maybe $7 million, minus $3 million that's not coming from WKER or from PBS, minus whatever contributors give, because I know for myself, I more than willingly pay a contribution to WKER for the TV broadcast, but if I need to somehow stream it over the internet and I need to pay the internet provider to do that, I'm going to be a lot less apt to make a donation, and other people have said similar things too. So let's say that's $1 million. I don't know what it is, but you've got $4 million that the university is not going to get for 7 or 8 or 10 million that you would get potentially depending on how the auction goes. So the net amount is not the same. When I first heard about this and heard 10 million a year, I thought, you know, that's a pretty hard number to argue with. But when I start thinking about the net could be more like 3 million a year, then that's not such a big deal. And especially to lose such a wonderful asset as WKER.
My name's Richard Scheele. My wife and I have been contributors and volunteer workers for WKER for many years, I think dating back to 1980-81. I would like to know what you intend to tell people who have made significant contributions over the years to WKER and to the university after you have sell this asset off. The asset which we were told or hoping that it would be here from now until whenever. It's a public asset. I don't understand how you can even think about getting rid of this. And shouldn't this be, with the amount of money involved, shouldn't this be a decision that should also go out to the public? Thank you.
My name is Etta Abrahams, and I just celebrated my 50th anniversary as an alum, class of 65, also class of 73, class of 67. And I taught at Michigan State, and I was an administrator as well at Michigan State. And I am a very, very big contributor to WKAR and to the university in other ways, too. I made a mistake. I kept my options open and moved to Maine for a number of years. And then I decided with my husband that we would be better off moving back here to Michigan. I think that sometimes keeping your options open is not a good idea. And when President Simon, who I think of as a friend and a colleague, and a damn good president of this university, kept her options open, she's making a mistake. There's no reason to go forward. I think we've all said that here, or at least I haven't heard anyone who hasn't said that. Why wait? Why keep your options open? You've heard from everybody here who's spoken that we don't want to lose WKAR-TV. Close the option. Don't go forward. It's as simple as that. Thank you.
My name is Coraline Bloss. I'm a farmer. I am operating the farm that my great-great-grandfather started putting together around 145 years ago, adding parcel to parcel to parcel to put the farm together. We get WKAR on the antenna on the water tower that Grandpa put up. And if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have WKAR. I'm a classmate of the lady that just spoke, class of 65. And I've been listening to radio and watching the TV on WKAR for many, many years. And we belong to Sound and Vision Society. And we would have to reconsider that membership if WKAR-TV is gone. When Grandpa put the farm together, it was easier to do than it is now. It's hard to find 700 contiguous acres for agriculture nowadays. And if we sell it off, the family would never get it back. If we sell off WKAR, it's gone forever.
My name's Jackie Wood, and my background is early childhood education. So hearing the children speak, I was glad to hear that. I was down with my granddaughters who have cable TV, and they wanted to watch a cable program. There was 4 minutes of programming for 6 minutes of commercial. And that's why my husband and I chose to go to Antenna TV, because I didn't want my grandchildren exposed to that much commercial. So we get Channel 23 over Antenna. And looking at it, when I do presentations in early childhood education, I do a lot on media and its effect on children's brains and children. And I continually refer the people in my audiences to public TV and KAR. And I get materials from WKAR to distribute for good children's programming. We're not going to have that if the station ends. Also, I think I worked as an administrator in state government for over 30 years, and I've seen the state of Michigan sell off assets. And I have to say, it brought in a short-term money boost, but within 1 or 2 years, that was gone, the asset was gone, and the only group that profited was the private company that bought the assets. And I did not hear anywhere that Verizon, AT&T were being asked to free up any of their bandwidth. Instead, what this seems to me to be is a move to have bigger corporations in the private sector have control over our information flow in terms of our news, in terms of our programming for children. And that makes me very sad and upset, because I'm worried that the public sector is losing its voice and everything is going to big private sector corporations. Also, I think if the university makes this choice, I think it's extremely short-sighted. I think while you may get money, and I've been on a large school board for 20 years, and I know how hard it is to meet budget, pay staff, good programs for kids, but I think it's short-sighted, because I think you're losing more than you're gaining. You're going to be losing the broader community that supports the university. I can't get sports, Michigan State sports, anymore. It's all on cable. So you lost my support there, unless I drive to somebody else's house. WKAR, I can get, I can enjoy. It's the one station we watch on a regular basis. I don't watch the others. My husband doesn't watch the others. You're going to lose those supporters. My children grew up on Channel 23. They now are supporters, financial supporters of the station. Even though my son doesn't live in your area anymore, he still supports. My daughter's been a day supporter numerous times to the radio station. And you're going to lose all that. You're also going to lose students who selected this university and the programs here that's offered in ComArts because of the broadcasting capability. They may now go to other universities. Why don't I go to Alma? Because Alma has a media one, because we know a professor there. Why don't I go somewhere else? But having the broadcasting here has made a benefit for its students. I know, because I've worked with Susie and I've worked with other people to do broadcasting to the UP, to Ironwood, for conferences. And we've used your broadcast capacity, and we've brought in thousands of people, the state of Michigan has, in its early childhood departments, through your capacity. And if you lose that, you've lost that link also to reach people in other parts of the state. Of the 1,700 stations that can give up bandwidth, you indicated that 200 were needed. What I'd ask is you let the other 200 give it up and keep what we have here.
I'm Janet O'Brien. I grew up in this area. I remember when WKAR came on the air starting. And the thing that hit me at whatever age I was, 15, 17, something, was their promise to be not commercial and unbiased. They have never left that in my mind. And it is, we have no alternative. I've noticed that other stations lately, they're ads are longer and longer and longer. And I just think they have never changed that. And I think that I please, please, please don't take the best TV station in mid-Michigan away. It would be a tremendous loss.
Hi, I'm Randy Dyke. I live in Lansing, and like everybody else here, get our TV, our KAR over the air and all of our other television. Most everybody has said the things that I had thought about saying about how we've become a society that seemed to know the price of everything and the value of nothing. And the issue about WK or MSU being a land grant institution, having that responsibility to the state and to the community. But as I sit here listening, one of the ironies that struck me is that we keep using the word public broadcasting. But we as the public have a chance to have our say, but we as the public have no say in the decision. Mr. Beekman referred to the decision makers during his remarks at one point, and that sort of was stuck in my mind, is we are the community that benefit from this asset. We hold the asset. It's our airwaves. It's our public airwaves, yet we have no real power in deciding how that asset is going to be used. And I think that's a real travesty and a tragedy in all of this, is that all of us here, get to plead our case. When they needed money and they plead with us to give money, we give money. We the public, have kept WKAR on the air all these years. I can remember, I'm old enough to remember, believe it or not, old enough to remember when Congress funded PBS so that nobody had to give money, it was all through your tax dollars. When they cut that and they came to us and said, please help support our public television station, our public radio stations, we stepped up and filled the breach. I think WKAR and MSU owes us something in keeping this a public asset.
Hi. I'm Nick Wykowski. I work for Michigan State University, actually in the telecommunications department across the street, part of the physical plant. I actually didn't grow up in the mid-Michigan area. I grew up in northern Illinois, where we had WILL, which was actually a part-time PBS station. And I can tell you that they were not able to provide nearly the amount of quality programming that WKAR does. But to the comments about being able to broadcast, or at least have the same content available over the internet, over cable or satellite, might be a little bit disingenuous. First, we've already heard that PBS, at their current rules today, don't allow you to actually carry the programming unless it is over the air. Even if that were the case, a lot of times the content providers, so that would be the people who actually make the programs, actually don't allow you to carry that content over the internet, or at least even to stream it. So programming like NewsHour and some of those will be available maybe 24 hours later, or maybe not even at all. So we have to remember that if we do give up the over-the-air broadcasting, even that content that we watch today may not be available.
So it's 8:45. We have about 15 minutes left. So how about four or five more brief comments? And then we should think about wrapping it up.
Is it on? It's on. Okay. My name is Pam Romano Dilly. My father was a professor here for 30 years in the School of Education, and he would be the first one in the first seat the first day if he knew about this, but he passed away at 93, 2 years ago. I remember an issue at the the School of Education, or the College of Education, where they got rid of all the children's books, some of the best children's books anywhere. I would come and read those books just because I thought they had the best selection. That will never be replaced. And those books were just sold off or donated or whatever. And that was minor in comparison to what's going to happen with WKAR. And my dad kept saying, oh, we're going to become a third world nation, and we all thought he was nuts. Well, I don't think so anymore. When you have no middle class, you have lots of poor people and middle class people going down and lots of rich people getting more money and having 95% of the wealth, that's pretty scary. That's what it was like in France hundreds of years ago. And what happened with the poor people? They rose up and they cut their heads off and they're gone. So here's my assessment of this. The best security for wealthy people is to make sure they don't destroy the hope, and they educate and help the people at the bottom to at least get to the middle class. And if you don't do that, then you better have your gated communities, and you better have your own security, because you won't be safe. And my parents traveled in countries all over the world, and one of the things that shocked them is how they never felt safe because of the discrepancy between the rich and the poor. And in conclusion, apparently the Board of Trustees and President Simon are considering putting WKR up for auction. I am upset they are even considering such a proposal. First, the Republicans cut the funds for public radio and TV, and now WKR radio and TV have to have fundraising all year round, interrupting their programming. But even thinking of removal of WKR for any amount of money is without conscience. There was something on WKR radio last week about the Board of Trustees abdicating their elected responsibility and allowing one person, President Simon, to make the decision whether to put WKR up for auction, and she will make a unilateral decision by January 12th through a reported $206 million or more. Who is that that wants to take over WKR, and who are the money backers? I couldn't help but say this, the Koch brothers. But just a minute, but one more thing. I think we need to find out who's in charge of the FCC. Are they getting money from the cable companies? Because they certainly raised my cable bill. I no longer have cable. I now have what's called rabbit ears. And I want you to know I get all three of WKR's programming, and I get CBS 60 Minutes, and CBS Sunday Morning, my absolute favorite show about the arts. As far as I'm concerned, there isn't anything else on television. And I'm sick of gratuitous sex and violence, and there's so many programs like that, and guess who watches them? Prisoners. And they learn how to be worse people. Okay, some things are more important than money, and WKR is one of those things. Has the university become Midas? All the money in the world could never replicate the high standards of WKR and superb covering of the arts. Please vote no.
My name is Brad Schwartz. I'm a East Lansing resident. I should say, in the interest of full disclosure, that a couple years ago, I co-wrote an episode of the PBS series American Experience about the War of the Worlds broadcast that airs on WKR around every Halloween. It sounds like some of you have heard it. Thank you. So I have an interest in the station, but I think everybody has an interest in public television in the United States of America. And I also know the insider's perspective of how they put it together, the care they put into these programs that are designed both to entertain and to educate, and what it means when you don't have to listen to sponsors, or when ratings don't matter as much, when you're not having your programming interrupted by commercials, as people have said. The level of quality and the attitude of the producers is quite different. My involvement in the show came out of my research into the War of the Worlds broadcast. I just published a book about it. And I've done a lot of research into the early history of broadcasting in the United States in the 20s and 30s. We've heard a lot, people have suggested what might happen in the future with broadcasting, and whether it makes sense to sell the station now because people will only get their TV streaming or through other means in the future. We don't know what the future does hold, but history is always a good guide. And I'm reminded hearing about how funding has been cut to PBS and the university in the past, how when the Communications Act of 1934, which established the FCC, was being drafted, there was a serious possibility up until the time the bill was passed that as much as a quarter of the frequencies would be reserved for educational public-owned stations. That didn't end up happening. At the time, the idea of selling licenses to use the public airwaves was quite controversial because these are owned by the people. And so the Communications Act, as I'm sure some of you know, requires that stations operate in the public interest, convenience, or necessity to have these licenses from the American people to operate. In the 1930s, it worked under sort of a gentleman's agreement where oftentimes a big commercial broadcaster like CBS or NBC would give up an hour of programming here and there. That's how Orson Welles got on the air in the first place to do War of the Worlds. It was an unsponsored, what they called a sustaining show, that was done because it was culturally uplifting, because it was educational, edifying, for the public good. And gradually, as the FCC got weaker, we got away from that. So we lost that space for educational, in-depth news coverage got smaller and smaller over the decades. And the thought that not only we could lose our PBS station here, but that if enough PBS stations went off the air, we could all lose PBS is quite disturbing. These are public property. They are the airwaves, belong to us. And I would hope that whoever makes this decision keeps that in mind. And I do have a question. You mentioned, I think Mr. Beekman mentioned, that some other universities have this opportunity. Some have decided one way or the other. And I'd be curious to know which universities have decided and how they've decided. Thank you.
I don't have an exact list off the top of my head. I know that, and of course they're all subject to change with their their boards. I believe that Howard and Washington has decided to sell. I believe there's an Ohio University that's decided to sell, although it wasn't Ohio State. There have been one or two others I think that have publicly come out and probably easily Googleable. I don't have the names off the top of my head, but. I think most are still in the sort of trying to figure it out stage.
Are there other universities right now who have said no that you know of?
I'm sure there are. I don't know specifically who.
The Ohio University is Bowling Green.
I think it is Bowling Green.
It is Bowling Green.
Yeah. Central Michigan has multiple channels. Obviously, I'm not an expert on Central Michigan. I don't know what their decision-making process is. I think it would be surprising if they didn't sell something.
Yeah, well, they've given the same authority that MSU did.
Yeah.
Yep. First of all, we all need to remember that who's behind this thing? It's the for-profit wireless carriers. It is not the FCC. It is not the people. This is the people that want to make more money. Okay? That's one thing. I want President Simon to be here next week. I do not think there's any reason that she should not be here. And I think that if we feel so, we could show up again next week. We need to tell her, do not raise your hand on the 12th. Do not raise your hand. Don't even consider it. There are too many children that are impacted this. This is not about Sesame Street. Has anybody watched World? Do we learn about things that we never learned in school? Do we learn about everything different in this world? Come on. This is absolutely ludicrous that you're even thinking about this. And I used to be shy. Really, I was, but then I turned into a few things. But I will be back, and I will make sure that she's here, because the fact that you advocate, and you are on the ballot, the people that are on there, that guy was a genius that brought that up. People are tired of getting all this crap, and the children, I want her to, when she shows up next week, tell us what percentage of children in Lansing can stream something. And to bring up the French, remember Marie Antoinette? And they said, the people do not have bread. And she said, let them eat cake. What President Simon said is, let them stream. Come on, how many kids in Lansing or in rural areas can stream something? And this is asinine that you guys are even considering it. And I will use worse words because I was an engineer and they're engineering terms.
One last comment. I think we should wrap it up.
U is a Big Ten school. We have our football team, our basketball team, and why are we even considering? We have the whole country looking at us and see what. Why aren't we considering doing this? This is wrong. I'm sorry. Our children need mean more to us. If we are doing this, then everybody is looking towards us. What are we doing? WKAR is going to sell? This, I'm sorry.
I would like to add a final point here. I'm a faculty member here in the sciences. And I would say that the role of MSU is to add leaven to our intellectual and social community in Michigan here. And we do that through the programs that WKR offers. So I know in the classroom right now, I'm struggling to help students who have not had the preparation to be able to write and communicate as well as they ought to be able to. And we need these resources that WKR provides, reaching through all of the strata of society to provide students with the background to be successful here at MSU. So this is part of what we do to prepare people to come here and be successful students. And I would like you to consider that.
Well, thank you so much for coming today. We will make a concerted effort, I promise, to convey not just the points you've made, but also the verve, the emotions, the passions. And we will convey that. But before we close, though, can you give me just 2 minutes before we wrap up? I'd like to ask a provost to make a few comments to acknowledge, you know, the time you've spent coming here and offering your thoughts.
And I will just be brief. I think it was Scott who said that he gave us credit for being able to sit up here and listen to this. And I want to tell you that's not at all true. We don't deserve any credit at all. Somehow, in this conversation, there may have been a miscommunication that we didn't appreciate, or in some cases, very much agree with what you said. We understand, I think we deeply understand the asset to the community that is WKAR. You've helped us see that more deeply, but that's something that we understood before we came tonight. I'm going to say something that you all will not agree with, but I need to say it to you anyway. Some of you will agree, some of you won't. The Board of Trustees, I think, is doing what they believe is their due diligence to seriously consider this. I think for most of you, if you're honest, $200 million is a lot of money. Now, I understand the issue of cost versus value, and I'm not going to argue that. But if you had a board of trustees who didn't seriously think about value, you would wonder if they were actually doing their due diligence. So it doesn't mean that they have decided that this is a good idea. I think they're quite open to thinking about this in a very holistic way. I have not been asked for a recommendation, I will be honest with you. Well, you and I can have a conversation offline. But
excuse me, but since this is a reverse auction, I think it's disingenuous to use $200 million as the expected.
And we understand that.
It could be 150, it could be 100, it could be 50.
None of which you have to accept. None of which you have to accept.
$3 million from PBS, you get $2 million, big deal.
They've already decided to $207 million is a
they haven't decided to go forward with the auction. So I want to say that one more time. Thank you all. I'm sure I'll see many of you here next Monday, and I'll look forward to that.